Hello, Cules. Welcome to the Barca Talk Cafe. I am Gabriel Quiroga here in Madrid, Spain. And every Friday, Mariana Guzman of Conexión Deportiva and the ADN Barça podcast joins me from Barcelona as we talk about Barça and football. Mariana, ¿qué tal? ¿Cómo estás?
Hello. I'm happy. I'm in a good mood because it's Friday. Only for that, because for the Barça news, I'm not so happy. But yes, it's Friday. I love September. My birthday is on Wednesday. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, happy pre-birthday.
Well, thank you very much. So I'm excited and I love the weather, the September weather.
I do too.
It's like so nice. So
yes.
I'm in a good mood right now. I just had my coffee.
I think September is my favorite month too. And for a couple of reasons. Obviously, the weather is a big toll, but also we have football is in high gear with La Liga and champions and so forth. But also for me, American football is also starting. So all these different sports in September, there's a lot of usually, Maria, not this September, but there's a lot of optimism, for our teams and so forth. But also this
this is our situation.
It is not. But also this might make you a little happier that we are 28 days and counting from our Barca Talk Cafe meetup that we're going to do in person finally. So we are counting down, less than a month now. So I will be in Barcelona.
Are you excited?
Not yet. I think I'll be more excited. I'll be more excited when it's like 14 days away because then I can start to visualize and see. I mean,
exactly.
I already have my hotel booked. I already have my train booked. So everything is looking good and I'm really excited. But let's take that excitement down a little bit and let's get your final thoughts on the Bayern match. You were able to attend the Bayern match for Conexión Deportiva. Tell me, this was the first Champions League match since COVID with a crowd and everything. What was the environment like? What was the feeling like at the Camp Nou on Tuesday night?
Actually, I was really excited because the fans were there on a Champions League night. And at the very beginning, people were excited. They were really excited. They were like in a good mood. And then the game started. But the first minute, people were like really supporting the team. They were like clapping. I mean, like, I don't know, a player touched the ball. It was like, they were really, really happy to be back. But this was like for the 10-15 minutes, for the first 15 minutes of the match. And then the Bayern ball happened and everything went down. I mean, not only for the players, but for the fans. So actually, it was a different experience for me because I'm always in the press conference. Mm-hmm. And it's different because you are surrounded by journalism. So like you don't get the feeling of the fans that close.
But
on Champions League, there were a lot of journalists. So I was in a different area. An area like from a panoramic view.
I see.
I was actually with other journalists. I was right next to José Álvarez from El Chico.
Okay.
and I get to hear like the fans talking.
Yeah.
And it was like at the very beginning they were like, "We can do this." Like, "We are the Camp Nou, we are the Barça," and then they were like so frustrated. I mean, they were like, it was terrible, and I was feeling the frustration really, really near me, and I need to talk about what happened with Sergio Roberto.
We'll talk about that in a second. Let's
because
first before
it, that's an important point for me. That's an important point for me. But I mean, people were sad at the end. They were leaving. They were like saying, I rather watch the game on TV.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like they were feeling sad, and I completely understand why.
Yeah, we'll get into the Sergio Roberto in a second, because that's really definitely an important thing because, a lot of coolies are taking their frustration on him, essentially. Mm-hmm. My first thing, especially thinking about it for the past couple of days, is more about Koeman's approach to this match, right? We know that Koeman has not been able to use all the players that he wanted because of injuries and so forth. And so he had to do something kind of creative. And I still feel that he wasn't able to be creative enough to do something about this Bayern team. Now, I was thinking about this. You know, this is always kind of the talk after the match, right? Koeman went with kind of this 3-5-2 kind of formation. And I don't know. I just – obviously, it didn't work, right? Bayern barely – made a sweat, right? They barely tried, and they scored three goals essentially through the match. I mean, they barely did anything, and they had control of the game. Mariana, I'm just trying to be optimistic with this team, obviously with the young players and so forth, but also we're in this situation where we still need to get results and also still develop players, but also do what we have to do with these players. My question to you for this formation, is it an impossibility to think that Koeman should have used maybe a 4-4-2 that night just to have more balance, spacing, having the play in front of them? Or is it just like an impossible dream to think that Koeman could think this way and is only 3-5-2, 4-3-3? What do you think?
I think that it's like it's an issue because to me, it's not only about the formation. No, I think the problem is deeper. It's way, way deeper, you know. I don't want to go again with Sergio Roberto, but he's not a winger. And I don't understand why he was in that position.
Sure.
Against Bayern. I don't understand. After the game, we find out that Jordi Alba was with fever.
Yeah, yeah, was sick. Yeah.
And to me, it's like, are you kidding me? I mean, because you know that he is not going to be able to play well because he was feeling bad and that you're risking him to una lesión.
Yeah, exactly. For another injury.
For an injury. So I don't understand how can you use Jordi Alba when he was sick.
Yeah.
I don't understand why he used Sergi Roberto. And I don't understand how he used Luke De Jong, who is not even a starter on Sevilla.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
He was like the past week with the t-shirt, with the Barca jersey, like, hey, I'm happy to be here. I mean, I don't think he even trained with the team. I mean, it's just crazy. So, of course, the formation is important. But it's way, way deeper. I mean, it's like, I don't understand what Koeman was thinking when he did that. And actually on ADN Barça, I was like, I said, like, this is going to be a story in 11. And it was like that. I mean, and Alejandro was like, do you think he's going to use Sergio Roberto? Because he is going to use Sergio Roberto. That's what's going to happen. And he was like, and you think he's going to use Luke De Jong? And I was like, yes. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. But he is going to use Luke De Jong for a champion night against Bayern. Because in Koeman's mind, that makes sense. So, of course, the formation is important. He of course, from that result, he needs to change the formation. He needs to change the story in 11. But it's way, way deeper. I mean, he doesn't take risk and he doesn't use the young players.
Yeah.
Because I was tweeting.
Yeah.
People are always talking about La Masia. And he was like, I'm using La Masia. No. You're not using La Masia. I mean, to him, La Masia is like, I don't know, like un repuesto.
Yeah.
Like when you're driving and you got your flat tire and you change.
Yeah.
So that's not like, oh, I'm using. Yeah. No. It's you're not using La Masia. And I think it's complicated because you are exposing those players to Champions League night losing against Bayern. So I don't think he's even like working well and doing things right. I mean, it's not only about he debuted with the team. No, it's not about that. It's about an evolution and a plan. And to me, Koeman is not doing anything right. I mean, he's frustrated. I mean, not even his communication. I mean,
yeah.
Like, how come he say those things? I mean, doesn't he have like a person who work in communication? It's like, man, shut
just
up.
Like, yeah, like, yeah.
Do you want to get fired? That's what you're trying because you are doing fine. If that's what if that's your point.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go back to the Sergio Roberto, because we all know that Sergio Roberto is a good enough player, right, at a La Liga style to play right back, right? He's not the best and he's not the worst, right? Mm-hmm. We've seen so many different outcomes with Sergio Roberto. So now we have to look and say, what is the best situation for Sergio Roberto against a team that is faster with, for example, Alphonso Davies, for the example? And I think to myself, there's two things I would do if I were a coach. I would say, Sergio Roberto, you are not going up the wing. You have to stay home on defense. And also play everything in front of you. Let's not play a high line, because the high line is too risky against a team like Bayern. And all of a sudden, we're in a 3-5-2. So those, to me, is a situation where Koeman is not even looking at the situation. He's just trying to fit these players and not putting the players in the best position. Now, with Jordi Alba is another thing. You're telling me that if we were, I'm just saying, for this situation, in a basic 4-4-2, just to put the players in front, try to have spacing, just to keep it more close, you know, 1-0, try to keep better defensive. Any other player playing left back instead of Alba, maybe Demir or something, just some midfielder, right? Just for emergency purposes. Because Alba just looked completely exhausted after 30 minutes. I mean, you saw his face. Estaba pálido. Like, he was just, like, super sick. Now, we have a question from Keegan, just to talk about Luke de Jong. We have a question from Keegan, which is great. How heavy were Luke de Jong's shin pads in the game? Because, as you said, he was very slow, Mariana. And on top of that, how many times did Luke de Jong and Memphis Depay lose the ball? To me, that was one of the most frustrating. They had one job to do, one major job. Use their back and hold the ball to give to the midfield, and they lost the ball every single time. So you were not impressed with Luke de Jong's performance. I was not. But guess what, Mariana? He's going to be a starter for these next games.
Yeah, I mean, the good part, I mean, good.
Is that
the good part is that the next games are against, I don't want to be disrespectful, but they're easy teams.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, when you're comparing with Bayern.
Sure.
So that in that way, I understand that he might be a starter, but it's not going to be as terrible.
Yeah.
As that Champions League match. I don't know. I mean, to me, Koeman is just like so stubborn. To me, like, oh, I want Luke de Jong, I want Luke de Jong, but he's not even a starter on Sevilla. I want him.
And then,
And then he's like, maybe he should start, and it doesn't make sense. So yes, of course he loses a lot of balls. I mean, he is not in that level for Champions League with Barca against Bayern. I mean, everyone knew that. I mean, it's like, I am not a coach. I mean, it's just logical. It's like, I don't understand. If we all see that, how come the coach didn't? How come in his mind this makes sense? It's just, I can't believe it.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that the majority of the people looking at this match during the match and just seeing everything are seeing these things. So they're supposed to have more visibility during training and so forth, and they're not picking up on this. Which leads to our next question from Carlos, and I just want to highlight more about, because the Jordi Alba situation, and we saw Alejandro Balde come in, and I thought, you know, obviously he looked better because he's not sick. That's the first thing, right? That was the first thing. He had a lot of energy and so forth. Yeah. So, of course, he's going to look a lot better. Obviously, he was very motivated to show a good – and I think he did okay. But that's the issue, Mariana. It's like, why don't you just start him? You use him, you know? Like, he had all the energy. Yeah, maybe he would have made some mistakes here and there on defense. But you live with that because you know it's against Bayern. But Jordi Alba is sick. As sick as he was – use Balde, like, use him. I mean, Kool-Aid's want to see in this point right now, in this transition period that we're going, we want to see La Masia players, because that ultimately gives us ilusión, esperanza, right? Like, of this team that may go forward. And so, again, like you said, Koeman just using it as a pit stop instead of trying to use it to help get inspiration for the team and for ánimo from the fans.
Yeah, I mean, Alejandro Valde is really one of the best of Barça B. People were talking about him for months. He is a really good player. Of course, he's another level, debuting a Champions League night against Bayern, and he did well, because like you said, he was not sick.
Yeah.
But
on top of that, you know.
But he has that energy, the same energy that Gavi, for example. Yeah. So that's a thing that to take care of, to take into consideration, that these young players have the illusion and the energy, and they just, I'm like, they're running and they're going at it, and you don't see that in todos los jugadores, in all the players of Barcelona. I mean, in the first half, they were like, are you there? Like, are you aware that you're playing against Bayern?
I mean, Bayern, yeah.
This is not training. I mean,
yeah.
And when a young player debut, you see this energy and it's like, I'm going for it. So that's the energy, and that's something really important that they should like cultivar.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the thing, is that they will get so much support. You know, Koeman will get so much support by using these players first, because he'll say, I want these players. And energy makes up for talent a lot of times, right? Obviously not all the time, but in this moment, energy. We saw like Balde going up and down the line, and it's like, wow, how refreshing compared to seeing Alba, who doesn't do that all the time anymore because he's just an older player. Now, let's get to your point with Sergio Roberto, okay?
Yeah.
There was a lot of criticism, obviously, the pitados after the end. And I think it's, you know, not the correct way, because it's not his fault, right? As we talked about, Koeman not putting him in the best position. Again, I still can't get over Mariana that he's one of the captains, but whatever, that's another thing. What was the sentence? Welcome to Spain. What was the sensation at the stadium with all the whistles and the pitados to Sergio Roberto?
You have no idea how hard was the whistle. It was incredible. I mean, it's one of the worst whistles that I ever heard in the Camp Nou. Mm. I was feeling sad, because he didn't deserve it at all.
Yeah.
I mean, people were so frustrated, and he's not responsible for what's going on. I mean, Bartomeu, Koeman, everyone is responsible, but I don't think him in that way to be point out like boo people. I mean, I was feeling sad, because I never see something like that before. People in Barcelona, they fans, they whistle when the Champions League anthem, and that's like a thing. And I think when they booed Sergio Roberto, it was worst.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about serious thing. And of course, he ended up crying.
Yeah.
At his dressing room. I mean, I almost cry.
Yeah.
I'm always crying. I was shocked. Like, are they booing Sergio Roberto? I mean, is that really for him? That was people were like, yeah, because he was like, no, shut up.
Shut up.
I mean,
now let's talk about this for a second more, because this is the thing. It, like, yes, he's not the best right back that we've ever had, and he's not the best midfielder we have, but also he has done what he's been asked to do, right? And that's all you can say. And the thing is, to put your frustration about what is going on to Sergio Roberto is completely misplaced. It's completely misplaced, right? And the thing is, yes, like, I feel bad for him that he was whistled like that too. But also, it's just like, it's this moment that everyone is just super frustrated with the situation, the team, because it doesn't represent anything that we're used to seeing as Barca fans, right? You said it was the loudest whistle you heard. I mean, it came through the TV very loud and clear. That I was watching with my friend. I said, are they really whistling Sergio Roberto? I was like, how is that even possible? He's not even his fault. And also, if we compare this match of Sergio Roberto against the previous one, you know, against Bayern, obviously it was an improvement, right? Like, it wasn't, maybe he was now ready for Alphonso Davies, but at the same time, yes. There's so many people at fault with this game. You know, it's not Sergio Roberto. And that's the thing, unfortunately. Mariana, let's transition now, because last night,
yeah,
there was news that the Junta Directiva met last night to discuss finances, but also Koeman's future. And so that, you know, on our WhatsApp group, that set a blaze of all the rumors and so forth. So we have a question here from Leroy. And he said, obviously, Barcelona's played 4 games this season. And the rumor is now that he may have 4 more to prove if he needs to stay. Do you think there's any truth to that rumor of that he may just have only 3 or 4 matches to prove if he can stay on, and Laporta may just fire him after the 4th match?
I mean, not exactly, because the next matches are against Granada, Cadiz, and Levante.
Okay.
So it's quite possible that Barcelona wins. So it's like, oh, we're expecting. I don't think Laporta is like expecting a result to make a decision. I think that this is like a forced marriage.
yeah, of course.
I mean, it's like he is trying to see how he can get Koeman out, but it's not easy. It's not easy because it's expensive to se me fue la palabra. Botarlo.
Yeah.
So it's really complicated to kick him out of the team, because we need to remember that Barca owns money to kick Setién still at this point.
Yeah.
So they need to pay Quique Setién, they need to pay Koeman, they need to pay the new coach. And it's complicated because not so many coaches want to come to Barcelona in this point, because is a complicated season, and it's basically one of those moments that a coach can get burned out for life.
Sure, like, for sure.
So I don't think it's appealing to most of the coaches to arrive at this point in Barcelona. And people are talking about Jordi Cruyff. It's a mistake. I mean, it's a mistake. I know what Cruyff means to the team and to the Barca philosophy, but it's like, it's Johan Cruyff, not Jordi Cruyff. I mean, really needs to separate, because when you look at his experience, I don't think he has the capacity to be the coach of FC Barcelona. So people are talking about Jordi Cruyff. I mean, to me, the reason why Koeman is still here, about the money, which of course it is really important, is because they don't really have choices.
They don't really
have options. So I don't know. Maybe if someone came up, but it's not like if they lose against Granada, it's like they are stuck with Koeman.
Yeah. So. You're right. It's cheaper to keep Koeman now for the rest of the season than to buy him out. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. That's one of the major reasons, right? If they pay him to the end of the season, it's cheaper than to fire him. I mean, that's plain and simple. So I was discussing this with a friend of mine, and we obviously got questions from Kim and Carlos about possible replacements and, you know, having this coach. And I think there's only one coach for me that I would be really excited to see, especially since I saw Ajax play on Wednesday night, just the pace and the way they played, and also just a couple of years, you know, the way they've always produced. And that's Erik ten Hag, right? Like, that's the coach for me that I would try to go after if I were Barcelona, but I wouldn't do it this season. I would try to do it in the summertime, give him a full summer to get the team. But Mariana, he has 83 wins, 13 losses. His contract ends in 2023. So maybe it's a cheaper option because you're not paying Koeman anymore, and hopefully you can pay off Setién by the summer. But Mariana, when I watch Ajax in these past years, there's something that comes off the screen with me, and that's 2 things. They are prepared, and they are always playing fast. And that, to me, excites me. especially with this new crop of young players coming through on Barca's team. What are your immediate kind of thoughts about having this coach possibly, let's say, take away the financial things and all this? I'm just saying, just as bringing him in as a coach for Barca, this is
Yeah, they're not equal. No, I mean, it's like, the thing is that you cannot take the money out of this context. It's like,
I know.
You want to sign Haaland? It's like, yeah, but can you? No. So it's basically something like that.
Yeah, but I think this is more... I think this is more of a possibility because the money's not so high as Haaland, for example.
No, obviously it's not so high as Haaland, but it's not.
We can do this. How about this? What about if we do a trade? We give him Koeman and we get Erik ten Hag for like some money and so forth.
I don't think no one will accept.
No, we can't do that.
No, it doesn't sound bad. I mean, actually, it doesn't sound bad at all. But I don't know. It's complicated, not impossible, but of course, better him than Jordi Cruyff or people.
Yeah.
You know that people were like on the board. They remember this name, García Pimienta from Barça B, and that was one of my questions. I mean, why he was kicked out of the team?
Yeah.
I don't understand. He was doing a wonderful job. He understand working with Dijon. I mean, maybe okay, you don't want him like the first coach, but it will be so incredible to see him working with the first team, like with all the players that he worked with in Barça B, that transition. That will be interesting, but
now he's
out, and people were like, remember him on this meeting, because after the match against Bayern, they were like in a meeting until 2 a.m. They were like saying they were like talking hard.
Yeah. But this is the other thing, Mariana, just to kind of close this situation with Koeman and just talking about his future and so forth. You know, we're all frustrated because we don't see Koeman making adjustments and doing these tactical things that we want to see, putting players in positions. But again, I think Koeman's going to stay for the rest of the year. Unfortunately, I don't think there's any other alternative, as we stated. The other thing, Mariana, sometimes, you know, as I talked on Monday with Kevin and some other people, sometimes having too many people, like a junta directiva, is bad, right? Sometimes you just need one owner, one person making a decision, and that goes, instead of talking. Sometimes, Mariana, as we know here in Spain, your experience, my experience, people talk a lot here in Spain and no action gets done, right? You know this? I know this. Come on, right? Yeah, you're shaking your head. So, you know, can you imagine, Mariana, the meeting last night of these people talking, right? Everyone having their opinion and then finally just leaving and nothing got done, essentially. I'm not saying something had to get done, but can you imagine a four-hour meeting in Spain? You know? And this is the thing, is that sometimes, you know, I love the idea of sport democracy, socies, elections, all these things. But sometimes, Mariana, the greed of many hurts this team, you know? And if we compare Barca and Bayern, just as like club owner, different things, I'm not saying it works all the time. I'm just saying sometimes it's better to have one person make a decision that filters through as opposed to a grupo, right? And Mariana, it's just frustrating because we have been seeing this happen for the last 4 years, right? Like, this wasn't all of a sudden just one night it happened. It's been a process, and you know, it's really hard. And like Laporta said this week, he wants us to be patient. He wants us to have animo for the team. But you need to give me something to have that, right? Give me something.
Yeah, he did this message on social media, like, we're going to take care of him. Okay, I mean, I value that he appeared.
He gave the face.
Here in Spain, but is is much more than that. I mean, okay, thank you for the video, thank you for the message, but let me know how you're gonna solve this situation, because he before he was saying that there are no transition season here in Barcelona, and if Barcelona lose, it's gonna have his consequences. So let me know how this is going. I mean, what are the consequences about this loss? So it's really a hard time for the club, because the sports part is so mermada. Financial part. I mean, it's like you cannot separate these two situations, and it's complicated. Like your favorite word, complicado.
I love it. It's complicado. But I mean, that's the thing. You know, I mean, you know, we're, it's just like I said. I think for me, as a Barca fan forever, I just want to see hope. And for me, the hope right now is to put all of your faith in the La Masia players and the youth players, because that to me is going to give me, okay, now we can figure out if these players are good enough. Exactly. But I'm going to get excited to watch the matches. If I see, you know, Luke De Jong again, you know, as he's been playing, like, that does not excite me, you know? Okay, maybe he comes in for the last 15 minutes, but I want to see Demir. I want to see Gavi. I want to see Balde. I want to see all these players, because they'll have the energy that our team and club desperately needs on the field. Maybe they lose. That's fine. But at least give them the opportunity, give me the chance. That gives me the hope.
Yes, actually, I was writing about that on the Chronicle, that the saddest thing of this is that when you're looking at Barcelona, you're not recognizing that it's Barcelona playing. I mean, if you lose the jersey, the Barça jersey, and you don't recognize, oh, is this Barcelona playing? So the club is losing their identity. So that's the worst part, because okay, everyone wants to win. Of course, culés wants their team to win, but it's not only that they're losing; it's how they're losing, how they're playing, and how they're separating from their philosophy. So that's, to me, is the worst part of this, that you don't see ADN Barça in any moments, only like the 5 minutes where the youngs play,
when the young kids came. That, I mean, that's the thing, right? I mean, you know, again, I just need something. And Laporta, you know, you promised Messi, did not deliver. You promised hope. You know, you have to give something to the people, right? And this is the thing. Yes, we all know that it's not your fault about the finances. We understand that. But you can do something to give Koulé's hope, right? And that is telling Koeman that he has to use the young players. Mandate that, right?
I already said this on ADN Barça.
Go on.
That Koeman is going to be like receiving orders, like from now on. Like, this is what you're gonna do, and if you don't like it, well, you quit. But to me, he's gonna have like indications, like this player is going to be used. You need to use this. I mean, he's not gonna have like his full capacity to decide. So I think, to me, that's a reality that we're going to see.
I would agree. And that would, you know, again, I cannot stress this enough. The thing, like, for example, as we talk and we close the episode off with a quick preview of Granada, is that what excites me about this match? Nothing. Absolutely nothing about watching this match. If I didn't have a podcast, I wouldn't watch a match. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is one of those matches where I would watch the resumen here on Movistar, you know? Because there's nothing that excites me about, but Mariana, if Koeman were to say, I'm rolling out with Balde, and I'm like, I'm enchufado. Like, I'll watch this game now. No, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, all of a sudden, it's like a different feeling, because now I want to start seeing these players that could potentially be starters in the future, so forth, right? And so let's go quickly with this Granada game. it's Monday night. Give up. What happened? And usually the Monday night games are for the worst teams in La Liga, right? Like Rayo versus Granada, for example, or Getafe versus Granada, right? And here we are Monday night with Granada. Anything with Granada, I mean, they are at the bottom of the table. I mean, they have nothing going on right now. They have...
Well, I mean...
Go on.
Barcelona lose against Granada. I don't know if you remember.
I do remember.
No,
I
mean, this is... Arriba.
This is the thing, Mariana. Every game away from Barcelona is going to be complicated. I mean, that's just how it is. At home... they may have an advantage.
Well, this is here in the Camp Nou.
I understand. But still, like, this is the thing is, the crowd now that's going to come to the match is not going to be animado to help the team. It's just going to be animado to criticize more, I think, to kind of just watch. I mean, for example, if you go to the match, you're going for work. But, like, would someone pay money to go watch this team right now? I don't know.
Fans were complaining about the price of the tickets.
Yeah, of course.
It's expensive, and then you're gonna see your team losing that way. So people are complaining
This is the thing is that I had Kevin Williams as a guest on Monday, and he wrote a great blog about how the stadium of the Camp Nou is a perfect analogy of how the team is, right? This estadio that used to be so epic, so thing is just with the seats. Like the press box, I imagine too, is the same way. It's just that it's run down. It's just old, and it needs a complete gut, right? Everything needs to be lifted and new, and it's this feeling.
It looks so old.
It looks so old.
And sometimes I record when I'm entering like the stadium, and sometimes I don't even post this video because it looks really ugly.
I mean,
I don't want to sound disrespectful, but it looks like some stadios from Latin America. I mean,
you took the words right out of my mouth.
I'm not feeling Europe right now.
Mariana, this is why we are like this. You took the words right out of my mouth. I was about to say, it reminds me of a stadio that I saw in Bolivia. That type of thing where there hasn't been put love back into the stadium. The other day, Mariana, just to kind of close this, I was walking. I took a long walk on Sunday, and I walked by the Bernabeu. They are doing so much over there, you know, with construction and everything, and now they're having people inside the stadium, so they're almost there. And as we can see, just in difference of temperature of the team, right? If you were to have the temperature of Cules and, you know, people of Madrid and so forth, people of Madrid are super excited because their young players are producing and doing things. Like Rodrigo came up with the goal against Inter, and Vinicius now and all this stuff. And so, you know, it's very frustrating. That's all. And I just want to see young players to come. So anyway, Mariana, what do you have planned for the weekend? Are you going to Femini or anything like that this weekend? Or are you off?
No, I don't think so. Yes, I'm off because I'm working on Monday, hopefully.
Yes. So if you are working on Monday, obviously you're going to send us the photos and stuff as you usually do at the Camp Nou. Well, you know. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the weather. And we'll talk next week as we get closer to our Barca Talk Cafe in directo.
Yeah.
And someone honking the horn as always here in Spain on my street, as it always is. It's just like, it's inevitable. Anyway, Mariana, have a good day. Hasta luego.
Bye-bye. Adeu.